So it's Sunday morning.
What can I do?
December 14th. We're near the end of Masechet Brachot, so we're in Perek Tet Mishnah Bet, which we began last time. The material that I have on the table here we'll get to only in the second half. You hear that?
Okay.
This material is only for the second half of today. For the first half of today, we're still in last week's material.
Right, right.
And last week's material means that we want to look at the Mishnah. We want to look at the sources that we quote studied. So that we didn't get to yet. But I'll give you this. And we said that today we're going to do something different than we've ever done before because of the suggestion of David and one other person I don't remember, which was not to begin a new Mishnah, but why don't we just continue where we were in last week's Mishnah instead of just going forward. So the truth is the Mishnah itself we had done pretty thoroughly. We were in the middle of learning the halakha that comes out of the Mishnah, and that's really where we'll begin. We'll just do a review now for about 10 minutes to remember where we are. It might take actually 15 minutes. And then we'll go on. So, we want to open up the Mishnah.
We just remind us what Mishnah we're on.
This is Mishnah Bet. The sheet looks like this. This is the sheet from last week. Right, Brooke wasn't here, right. So, Brooks wasn't here. Passed it on. I don't have any more copies of Mishnah itself. I hope everyone has. So I'm just going to open up my Mishnah. So again, this is Masechet Brachot, Perek Tshi'i. You want to know the page number, to make it easier, it's page 30 in what I photostudied. Page 30. And the Mishnah had said as follows. Actually, page 31, it's the same piece of paper, very top of the page. Al Hazikin, Val Hazvaot, Val Abrakim, Val Haraamim, Val Ruhot, Omer, Baruch Shekocho Ugburato Meleolam. We had said last time that Zikin are comets, and Zvaot are earthquakes, and Brakim is a lightning, Ra'amim are thunder, and Ruchot, very strong winds, probably hurricane or tornado winds. We said the Brachot for all those things, Baruch Ata Hashem Lokeinu Melech Olam, Shekocho Ugburato Meleolam, that his strength and his power fills the world. We then went on to the next bracha. Al ha-heharim v'al ha-gva'ot v'al ha-yamim v'al ha-naharot v'al ha-midvarot omer baruch osem ha-seh breshit. On the hills and on the mountains and on the seas and on the rivers and on the wildernesses, deserts, but more vast tracts of uninhabited wilderness, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Oseh Maaseh Breshit, who is the maker of the work of creation. We discussed last time that the word Oseh technically is a participle. In other words, it's not necessarily referring to constant doing. It's God the maker, which actually might refer to the past. It's not necessarily referring to the present. We talked last time about the difference between these two brachot. We noticed that the first bracha is over events that occur sporadically in this world, whether it's comets or whether it's earthquakes or thunder and lightning, and they arouse a great deal of awe because of their power and strength, and they're often frightening. Right? All of these things are frightening. Then the second bracha is over not events, but constant features of the topography, which we could assume are connected to, better than connected to, that are constant from Maaseh Breshit. They don't arouse so much in us fear and don't show us God's power, but rather they remind us we see creation. We see creation very simply. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haroet Hayam HaGadol, Omer Bruch Shasat Hayam HaGadol. Rabbi Yehuda says that you see the Yam HaGadol, which might mean the Mediterranean, it might mean the larger oceans, the Oceanus, Atlantic and Pacific. You say the Bracha, Bruch Ata Hashem Lokeinu Melech Olam, who made the Yam HaGadol. This Bracha seems to be part of a subset from the previous bracha. In other words, the previous bracha was about hills and mountains and seas, and this is a sea. It gets a separate bracha. We asked ourselves last time if Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakhama or adding something Tanakhama might agree with. And it's not clear. It could go either way from what we have here. It might be Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Yom HaGadol gets a special bracha. We don't say on it Brucho Se Ma'ase Breshit, but we give it a special bracha. And the Tanakhama would agree. Or perhaps the Tanakhama wouldn't agree. We don't know. But we compared this to chapter 6, remember, in which there also Rabbi Yehuda had a special bracha within a larger category. Just like here, he wants greater specificity. I did it. Oh, wow. And there, it was clear that he is cholek from the structure. We won't go back over it.
Cholek.
He argues from the structure there. Here, if I wanted to use the same structure we have there to apply it here, it would be as follows. So follow the Mishnah. I'm going to read slowly. I'm going to add in some words. If we wanted to use again the same structure we have in Perek Vav, in Perek 6, for this Perek, it would say as follows, beginning with the second bracha, which is the last word of the second line. Al heharim v'ala gvaot, v'ala yamim v'ala naharot, v'ala minbarot omer, baruch hoseh ma'aseh breshit, period. And now I'm going to add a sentence that I'm making up. Al hayam hagadol, omer, oseh ma'aseh breshit. Rabbi Yehud omer, shasa at hayam hagadol. Hear what I did? I add a sentence in which it says, ho'eh at hayam hagadol, omer, Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit, to indicate the Tanakhama says on that also you say Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit, but Rabbi Yehuda says no, you say Shasat Hayam HaGadol. That's the structure we have in Perek Vav. Makes it clear that Tanakhama is Cholek, that in this subset the Tanakhama holds the general Bracha. Rabbi says differently. The fact that we don't hear that structure might mean that here the Tanakhama actually agrees. Not certain, but it's possible. In any case, we learn that the Halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which might mean that the commentators in the poskim understood that really Tanakhama agrees. Otherwise, why would we be poskening like a minority opinion? Then it says, "Vizman shuroe oto lifrakim," when he sees it occasionally, but not all the time. It says, "Vizman shuroe oto." Oto. What is oto?
It
referring to?
Hayam
HaGadol. Clearly. If you see the Yam HaGadol occasionally, you say the special bracha. But if you see it all the time, you see it out of your window from your high rise on the coast, you don't say a bracha. The problem with this phrase is that the same logic should appear to the earlier bracha as well. It should apply to the bracha of Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit, right? If you have a high rise looking over the Volga River, I'd have seen the same logic. Since it's not a surprise, it doesn't arouse great emotion in you, it's just a normal thing. So you don't say the bracha if you see it every day. But then why is this statement, Bizman sheroe oto lefrakim, why is it phrased with the word oto? I'd expect it to be phrased with the word otam. Right? So that is a question that remains. From the grammar, it seems to be only going on Rabbi Yehuda's Yom HaGadol. But from the logic of it, I would expect it to go back early in the Mishnah, so we're left with a question. Halacha lemaaseh, the poskim do apply it to the earlier cases.
I think we had said that it could be a separate source, separate text that was additive, but not part of this.
Right. Great. Thanks for reminding us of that. That the word oto, just let me finish the thought, might be there because the sentence comes from a brayta, from a text that only talked about the Yom HaGadol. But in context, it could be the editor, Rabbi Yehuda Nasim, meant it to refer to the early cases at all, in addition, but he didn't want to change the language from his original source.
Is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda says that if you see the Yom only infrequently, then you say Asat Yom HaGadol, but if you see it every day, you say that other bracha?
We didn't think of that last week. It's an interesting thought.
It doesn't make sense.
Right, I don't see the logic in it, though.
But according to how it says here, it could be... once in a while, you say this bracha. If you say it all the time, you say this bracha.
Again, I don't see any logic in it. I mean,
right.
I see the structural logic in it. I don't see the the spara in it. Then we have al hagshamim v'al besorot tovot omer bruch atov mitiv, on rains and on good news. We say bruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam hatov mitiv. Va'al shmuot ra'ot, and on bad news, omer baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam dayan emet. We talked a little bit last week about the fact that in one case it says bisorot tovot, the other says shmuot ra'ot. Why doesn't it use the same noun in both cases? Why doesn't it say bisorot tovot and ra'ot, or shmuot tovot v'ra'ot? Why change the word from bisorot to shmuot? And the answer simply might be that that's the meaning of the word besorot. It only applies to good news, but you have to still modify it with the word tov, but you usually wouldn't say besorot ra'ot. And after I said that, I think David noticed in the Talmud's printing of the Mishnah, it actually says besorot ra'ot. Right? I think you pointed that out last time?
I think I did. I'm not seeing it right off. But,
perhaps at the very beginning of the perek, the whole Mishnah is printed.
Sorry.
No problem. So here it says, al besorot tovot omer bruch hatov meitiv, al besorot ra'ot omer bruch dayan emet.
So we thought until we read the Gemara's version of the
they didn't know modern Hebrew.
Of the Mishnah. Say it again?
They didn't know modern Hebrew, obviously.
Yeah. we asked ourselves the question last time.
Obviously.
Why don't you say, or what's the difference between this category and the first category of the Mishnah? Over rain you say Bruch Tov Meitiv. Why don't you say that over thunder and lightning, but only over rain? You hear what I'm asking? Mm-hmm. The answer is easy. The answer is easy.
Those first things are dangerous.
Rain
normally isn't.
Rain is good. Which brings us to the question, and what happens if it was a torrential downpour that flooded New Orleans? Right? Would you say a Tov Meitiv, or would you say, Baruch Shekocho Gvurato Mele Olam? From Svara, you'd say Baruch Shekocho Gvurato Mele Olam. Right.
Just to emphasize that I know somebody who knows somebody who was hit by lightning twice, and he was asked, "What does it feel like?" He said, "It was hot."
And he certainly didn't say Baruch Tov Meitiv. Yeah, we discussed in just a few words last time the logic of saying a bracha over bad news, and we said that we would leave that until the end of the perek where it's discussed greater at greater length. But I did point out that it's probably meaningful that we don't say Baruch HaTov Meitiv over bad news. We say Baruch Dayan Emet. In other words, there's no mitzvah, so it seems from here, just from the text, there's no mitzvah to say Gamzu LaTova. Bad news, you don't say Baruch HaTov Meitiv, you say Baruch Dayan Emet. In other words, it's true you say a bracha, but you recognize it's not good news. Right? You don't have to fool yourself into saying that what is bad is really good. So it seems. Okay, so that's a review of the Mishnah, and then we should review very shortly the Gemara that we saw in order to understand the Halakha. So we'll put the Mishnah aside a little bit and go to the Gemara, which was photostated in the pages, right? So the first two pages are the questions, and the third page there is the Gemara. So let's remember what we saw in the Gemara. The Gemara is at the bottom of the page. It's the Gemara in our Mishnah. And it says there, Al Harim Balagvot. That's a Dibur Matchil from the Mishnah. And it's, of course, from the second part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about thunder and lightning, that you say, Koho Grato Mele Olam. The second part said, on the hills and on the rivers, you say, Baruch Osem Ase Breshit. And on this, the Gemara says, Atu kol hane da amaran ad hashta lav ma'ase bereshit ninhu. Translation, atu means, is it? It's a word that turns a statement into a question. Is it? Kol hane, all these, da amaran, that we said, ad hashta, until now. By the way, the word hashta, everyone knows, from the Haggadah of Pesach. At the very beginning of the Haggadah, we say, Hashta hacha b'shana ba b'Yerushalayim. We say, now we are here, next year in Jerusalem. Hashta means now.
Also in Kaddish. Also in Kaddish.
In Kaddish.
Hashta
b'Svakizman. Indeed.
Also in Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanachuni B'tzara.
Say that again? In the song?
Yeah.
Where's the word, can say it again?
Hashta b'Galal b'Svan Kaddish. That's the same.
Similar line from Kaddish. Right. So, is it that all those we've said until now, in other words, in the first part of the Mishnah, they're lav ma'aseh b'rishit ninhu, not ma'aseh b'rishit they are? In other words, why does the Mishnah tell us that we say the bracha of osem ma'aseh b'rishit only over hills and valleys, hills and rivers and seas? Shouldn't we also say it over thunder and lightning? Aren't they also ma'aseh b'rishit? That was the Gemara's question, and we pointed out last week that I personally don't understand the question. Because the answer is so simple. And the answer is you say ma'aseh b'rishit over constant phenomena that are there now as they were a million years ago, in theory, right? Whereas thunder and lightning, the thunder just appeared 2 seconds ago. You don't call it ma'aseh b'rishit because it's not a constant phenomena. I would say that's the simple logic of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is trying to... It's missing the elephant in the room. And we said last time there must be an ideological reason why the Gemara is not willing to take thunder and lightning, to take sporadic phenomena out of the geder, out of the category of osem ma'aseh b'rishit.
Well, I think it's the clockmaker versus the...
How did you know? Right. You weren't here. We talked about that exactly last time.
Okay.
Yep.
Gold star. Which means in Hebrew, that means buy us a beer.
Oh, right. Very good. How about a Maccabi?
Okay, for the season. Yeah. But what can we do? The Gemara asked the question, and on the basis of the question, actually it's a kusha, it's not a question, right? Remember the difference? It's a kusha. Because it's saying, How could you tell me that the Mishnah says, don't say osem ma'aseh b'rishit on thunder and lightning? Behold, they're also part of ma'aseh b'rishit. That's the Gemara's kusha, and on that basis, it changes completely the meaning of the Mishnah, as we're about to read on. What can we do? So Amar Abaye, karoch utane. Says Abaye, combine them and learn. And that's the word that is theoretically the modern Hebrew word for sandwich. It's not used today. Akrich means sandwich things together. Right? Usually people just say sandwich. But so Abaye is saying, put them together and learn, which means that both brachot are applicable to both types of phenomena, according to Abaye. It's still unclear from Bai if it means you say both brachot for all phenomena, or you say either bracha for all phenomena. It's a machloket Rashi and Tosfot. Rashi says you say both brachot, and Tosfot says you can say either one. Certainly Rashi's position, it seems to be a very, very creative perversion of the original meaning of the Mishnah, which specifically divided it into two different phenomena, two different brachot. And as David said last time, if we accept Tosfot's reading of Abaye, we're really allowed to go back to the original meaning of the Mishnah. Because if it means you can say either bracha over all the phenomena, so you can do just like the Mishnah meant, which is decide to say this bracha for what the Mishnah says to say, and say that bracha. And the halakha is like Tosfot, that you can say either bracha. I should be more careful. We should first read Rava before I say that. The halakha is like Tosfot's reading of Rava. Rava amar, hata mivarech tarte, baruch shekocho melei olam, vose ma'ase breshit. Hacha ose ma'ase breshit, ika shekocho melei olam leka. Translation, Rava says, hatam, which means over there, which means back in the first part of the Mishnah, the one that talks about thunder and lightning, Mivarech Tarte, bless too. Baruch Shekocho Malei Olam, Vosem Ase Breshit. There, in the first part of the Mishnah, Rava agrees with Abaye that both blessings are applicable, and we have the same Machloket Rashi and Tosfot. Does he mean both? Does he mean either or? So Rav agrees with Abaye vis-a-vis the first part of the Mishnah, thunder and lightning, you can say either bracha, or it might mean say both brachot, depending on Rashi Tosfot. But Rav disagrees with Abaye concerning the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah, about the hills and rivers, there Abaye also said whatever you want. And again, two. Does two mean either, does two mean both? But he said two. Whereas Rav says, no. Hacha, which means here in the second part of the Mishnah, Osem Maaseh Breshit Ika, Osem Maaseh Breshit, there is, it's applicable, Shekocho Melei Olam Leka. Kocho Melei Olam is not applicable concerning the hills and the valleys. That you couldn't say the bracha that says Kocho Vrato Melei Olam. Why not? Two possibilities why it's not applicable. Last week we said, I think we said, that Kocho Gvurato Melei Olam, you say when you see Koach, you see something that inspires awe and fear, like thunder and lightning, but when you see a hill, it's beautiful, but it's not Koach. It doesn't inspire you don't see God's Koach, you see God's constancy. So you say, Osem Maaseh Breshit. Rashi disagrees with that. Rashi says the reason that you don't say Shekocho Gvurato Melei Olam on the hills and rivers is because of the words Malei Olam, not because of the words Kocho, Gvurato. In other words, says Rashi, when you see a hill or river, you can't say Malei Olam because the river doesn't fill the world. Whereas thunder and lightning, you can say fills the world because people can see it from the other side of the earth, in theory. But I like the first reasoning. It's hard for me to believe the difference between the brachot is in the last words of Malei Olam. I'm being, I guess I have a preconceived notion here. But I'm assuming the essence of the bracha is Kocho Gvurato. And it just seems that hills and rivers don't have that same Kocho Gvura that you experience when you're woken from your sleep because of thunder and lightning.
And there's also a theological element in that. Right, the Kocho Gvurato, that Hashem is constantly intervening to cause the thunder and lightning at that moment.
Which you don't experience in the hills?
Yeah, in the same way.
Okay. So anyway, the halakha is like Rava, which means that on the thunder and lightning you can say either. Rav, according to Tosfot, that two means either, whereas on the hills and the rivers, you say only Osem Maaseh Breshit. That's our review. Right?
Thank you.
Shavua Tov. And then we can begin the halakha, which I don't remember if we even began last time.
We did not.
Okay. So in the Shulchan Aruch, I put in brackets the part that I thought was especially important for us to look at. This is Orach Chaim, the first of the four parts of the Shulchan Aruch, the only part that the Mishnah Berurah wrote his commentary on. And And we're in Resh Chaf Zayin, Birkat HaZikin, the bracha over the lightnings. And it says, Al HaZikin V'hu Kemin Kochav. I'm sorry, why did I say lightning? Zikin is the comets. Al HaZikin V'hu Kemin Kochav HaYorek Kechetz Be'orech HaShamayim Mimakom LaMakom V'nimshach Oro Keshevet. Translation, Al HaZikin, on the comets. V'hu, and it is, Kemin Kochav, like a type of kochav, a type of star, hayore, that shoots kechets, like an arrow, be'orech hashamayim, over the length of the shamayim, mimakom lemakom, from place to place, benimshach oro keshevet, and its light, let me give you a better translation, nimshach, continues, oro, it's light keshevet, like a staff. And I guess it means that you see the line in the sky even after the comet has passed. Do you think that's what it means?
Yes.
I don't remember seeing a comet.
You know, I saw a shooting star Friday night on the way home
from
dinner.
Uh-huh.
And you see a streak, you see the light, and it just kind of fades.
You see a streak.
Streak.
Split second.
With a comet, you actually see a tail.
Can you see it without a telescope?
Sometimes, yeah, it depends. But and the tail extends away from the sun. It's not actually the trail of vapor. It's something that has to do with where the light is, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you know, and as the, you know, kind of change. But you so with a comet that's, you know, in the sky for, you know, days and, you know, extended period of time, you actually see a long, you know, a bright spot and a tail traveling
through
the sky.
It.
But for me, you know, with the shooting star, actually, you do kind of see a streak.
Mm-hmm. There's a machloket among the commentators. Most say that Zikim are comets, but some say that it's a shooting star.
Because comets are actually pretty rare.
Yeah.
What's it
right.
Years they
it's
have?
Right.
If we had Hale Bopp in the
and
90s,
being able to see, to actually see a comet is. Yeah. Mm. I don't believe I've ever seen a comet.
Yeah, only on television.
Right, it's the shooting star that we're referring to that we've seen.
Yeah.
Those are common.
There was one in the 80s. Yeah.
They're
the
fairly common. Especially, they come in showers sometimes, a meteorite. Yeah.
The meteorites, yeah.
We had those are much more. We've all seen a shooting star.
Yeah.
And it does, and it happens, and it's, you know, if we weren't in the city,
right,
we really would see them, you know, every month or two, probably.
So since we're talking about it, we can look in the Mishnah Berurah, who's part of our discussion, because the Shulchan Aruch says that a Zikim are what we've been saying, a comet, but the Mishnah Berurah says, and I didn't put it in brackets, but you can see there in the Mishnah Berurah, right over here, and he says, Hayurek Kechetz, that shoots like an arrow, and he's referring to a comet that has a path. Right, it seems to have a trajectory that is more or less straight, like an arrow, or it has a certain arc to it. But he says, "V'yeshomrim shu kochav shish lo zanav." There are those who say that it's a star that has a tail, v'shevet shel ora, and a streak of light. And here is referring to a meteor or a shooting star. Ushnehem hitiku achonim ledina. And shnehem, both of them, hitiku, were copied by the achonim, by the later authorities, for the law. So if you see a shooting star, you can say this bracha that we're about to.
I mean, you could take some of that to refer to both. I mean, a comet has a tail. When I think of an arrow, I think of speed, and I think of a shooting star. A comet persists for a long time and would move slowly. You wouldn't think of it.
You don't actually see a comet moving through the sky.
Right.
You don't?
It's more or less like a star.
It progresses through every night.
It moves very slowly, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's a rare occurrence.
It's very rare.
Every 80
So,
well, there's different ones.
Would that warrant it's a different category? Or although they're
it says here that both of them are for this bracha. So you're saying that what I thought was a comet is a shooting star, what I thought a shooting star was a comet.
No, I think, I mean, I could, maybe, when first when you started talking, the language that was
that's
talking like an arrow.
Yeah.
And also the word zikim to me kind of.
Zik.
Kind of.
That's just modern Hebrew.
No, oh, it is.
Okay. Zik is, I'm just very fast.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds to me zikim. It sounds to me, anemonologically, I guess, that, if that's a word.
Good job.
That suggests kind of of a streaking, but that makes me think shooting star. But when you use the language star with a tail, then I start to think comet.
I understand. Okay.
And then how would the last part of his comment? Right. You if you see it another night, you don't say the bracha again. How would you know it's the same star? I wonder.
See, that's the what's more likely the comet.
I see. All right,
the comet persists over days.
I see. Okay. So then it looks like you guys are right that what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is a shooting star, and the Mishnah Berurah adds that the same thing goes for a comet.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the problem of Royal Tola Prakim. Only when you see it occasionally, but the comet, if you see it every single night, you don't say the bracha every time that you see it. Okay, so we're back to the text of the Shulchan Aruch.
So maybe you only say Shehecheyanu the first night you see it, and then you don't say it.
We didn't get to Shehecheyanu. Wait a second, why wouldn't you say Shehecheyanu over a shooting star or over a comet?
It's a Bezman Azeh.
You say Shehecheyanu over the birth of a baby boy, for example, as we're about to learn, another 2 hours. Because the comet doesn't do anything good for you.
Oh.
It's not a special. It's not a happy occasion, and it's not a good occasion. It's just there. Right. So don't say Shehecheyanu over a comet, unless, of course, it's going to land in your backyard and you're going to get a lot of money from bringing it to the museum.
House.
The enemy's house. Okay, so
in the next Mishnah.
Says the Shulchan Aruch, after it talks about shooting stars and meteors and comets, it says, Va'al ra'adat ha'aretz, on the shaking of the earth, which is the translation of what it says, Va'ot, in the Mishnah, and in modern Hebrew we just say, Ri'idat Adama, Va'al habrakim, right, on the Mishnah says Barak, on lightning. Ve'al, turning the page, Val Ra'amim, on thunder. Val Ruchot, which is also found in the Mishnah. Also notice, by the way, I think it's instructive to see, that the Shulchan Aruch brings these natural phenomena in the same order that they're in the Mishnah. So you can just imagine to yourself that this has been copied for generations. In different texts with different commentaries, but we're maintaining the basic structure of the Mishnah. Valaruchot shenashvu bizaf, and on wind that blows with fury. Not any old wind, but only furious wind. Val kol echad, I'm sorry, I added a vav I should not have. Al kol echad mi elu, on each of these, Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Ose Maasei Bereshit. And we are amazed, because that's not what the Mishnah says, right?
No. Shekocho Grotom Eleolam.
The Mishnah says Shekocho Grotom Eleolam.
Yeah. Wow.
The Shulchan Aruch got it mixed up. We have to finish the thought and go on, and then we'll see. Vim Yirtse Yomar, and if he wants, he can say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shekocho Grotom Melei Olam. As if he's saying, if you want, do what the Mishnah says. If you don't do what the Mishnah says. But we know where this is coming from. Right? It's coming from the Gemara, in which both Abaye and Rava said concerning the first part of the Mishnah that we're learning right now, that you say two. And the question was, does two mean either? Does two mean both? Rashi said both, and Tosfot said either. So it seems that the Shulchan Aruch is telling us either. Okay, he doesn't say you say both. He says if you want to say a second bracha, you say a second. Does that mean if you want to say one, you say one? If you want to say two, you say two? Well, that doesn't fit into the Gemara at all. In the Mishnah, in the Gemara, either it's Rashi says you have to say both, or Tosfot says you say either one, but it's never that you can say two, you can say one.
And is this...
Just a thought. So he's certainly not holding like it's not holding like Rashi that says you have to say both. He's holding like Tosfot that you can say either. When he says if you want to say the other bracha means in place of the first, not in addition to it. And then we understand that the Shulchan Aruch is simply holding like Rava according to Tosfot. You can say either bracha.
Is he saying in place of the first, or is the Shulchan Aruch saying that you, if you say one, you say Maaseh Bereshit, and if you want to say two, you say Maaseh Bereshit and Malah.
From the language, you could have said what you're saying.
Okay.
But going back to the Gemara, we know, there's no interpretation like that.
Okay.
It's either you say both, or you say either. But it's not that you can say one or two.
No, but what I'm saying is...
I understand. Yeah, you said you can, you interpret it as you can say one, you can add another if you want.
No. But what I'm saying is, if you say one, is the one definitely Maaseh Bereshit? Because here it's saying, it says, you know, you say... Osei, Moseh, Bereshit, Ve'im, if you want, say the other.
I understand. It sounds like it's saying you have to say that one, and if you want, you can add a second.
Okay, but...
But that just doesn't fit into the Gemara.
I understand, but what I'm saying is this telling us definitely the one versus the other, or the other?
No, it's not. What I'm interpreting,
okay,
and... The interpretation I'm giving is possible in the language, but it's not necessary in language. But I'm claiming that it's the interpretation because we know the Gemara, is that it says you say this one.
Right.
If you want, you can say that one. And what that means is you say this one, or if you want, you can say the other one.
Okay. Although it seems to be giving a... Would you agree that it seems to be giving a preference to the first one that it says? Or
it,
not necessarily?
It might seem to be.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of the Gemara. Remember,
right,
the Gemara said... How could you tell me not to say Yosef Maaseh Bereshit on these things? They're certainly Maaseh Bereshit.
Yeah, which you can't overlook.
You could have heard differently. But anyway, here it seems, we'll now see the Mishnah Berurah, right? But it seems that the halacha is say either one on these phenomena, on these occasional sporadic phenomena. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Which I put in brackets, hey, al kol echad v'chulei, on each of them, says the Mishnah Berurah. And here's going to come another monkey wrench. V'haolam nohagim levarech al habarakim ose maasei breishit val hara'amim shekocho ugvrato. Translation. And the world is accustomed to bless on the thunder, lightning, Oseh Maaseh Bereshit, and on the thunder, Kocho Ugvurato. That's the custom. And that's the custom that I learned when I was much younger. And I always remember it to myself in a very easy fashion, that the thunder is frightening. So that's koach. And the lightning reminds me of the light of creation. So that's Maaseh Bereshit. That's how I remember it. That's the custom. But that has no basis in the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah puts thunder and lightning in the same category. But the custom that was customary at the Mishnah Berurah's time and to our very day is for some reason, we don't know exactly why, perhaps it's because of the logic I just said.
Yeah.
People see in lightning the light of creation, they say Maaseh Bereshit, and they hear in thunder fear, so they say Koach Ugvurah. Now, that doesn't contradict the Gemara, because the Gemara says, if we're going Rava according to Tosfot, you can say either bracha over all of these things. So if you want to do like the custom is to divide up thunder and lightning into those, you can, but has no basis in the Mishnah or in the Gemara. It's possible, but it has no foundation. That's the custom.
So often the two are come together.
That's they, he's going to talk about right, that. What do you do when they come together?
Right. So that's the Gemara's point, right?
Is the Gemara's point?
Who makes that point?
The Mishnah Gemara.
The Mishnah says that. The Mishnah itself says we say either or.
The Gemara says we say either or.
Okay.
Again, the Gemara Rava, according to Tosfot, says you say either or on
the first lightning list. And thunder.
Oh, right. I said it wrong. You say either or on the first list, not the second list. You only say what the Mishnah says you say. Right. But in the first list, which includes thunder and lightning, you say either or. And
events,
the custom, then on the events, the sporadic events, you say either or. And the way the custom has divided up your either or is to say on the thunder X and on the lightning Y. On the thunder, which is frightening, to say kohog vratoma leolam. And on the lightning, which reminds us of the light of Reshit, to say osema se Reshit. That is the halakha. That's the halakha according to the custom. Okay.
Art scroll makes it very easy for us. It just tells you what to say.
The new Mishnah Berurah.
It follows the Mishnah Berurah, right? Art scroll.
Okay, so I'm going to read that and go on. Va'olam, it's the second word of the line, right?
Sorry, Rabbi, which is totally opposite to the way that we originally learned the idea of this being like constant, something from beginning of time, you know, beginning of creation, and continuing on like the mountains and everything, but lightning being something which is all of a sudden comes around.
Right.
Wouldn't think it was Bereshis.
Right, right. That was my logic, was what you just said, but the Gemara's logic apparently is different. Right. Is the air conditioning on now?
It feels like it.
Going up to 76 today, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. I think it's a waste of money. Uh-oh. V'olam nohagim levarech al habrakim osem maase breshit. We read that already. V'alar amim shekolcho brato v'chule, etc. And then says the Mishnah Berurah, v'chein mistaber, and so makes sense. It's mistaber. Shal yedei haram nireg brato shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu yoter mibarak. Because through the thunder, we experience the gvura, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more than through the lightning. The thunder's scarier. I think that's what he means. Amnam demet. Shayach kol echat mi'abrachot ashmehem, but in truth is relevant both of these brachot on both of these phenomena. Right? According to the Gemara and according to Tosfot and Rava, you can say either bracha on either of those phenomena. And since in theory, according to the basic halakha, both brachot are relevant to both phenomena. Therefore, even though the custom is to say one on one and a different one on different, but if you have them both at the same time, you can't say two brachot, because the first bracha that you said
covers
both. And so you, how does it go? Which comes first? Which comes first? Remind me. First, what you see comes first, right?
Yeah.
First, you see the lightning. And then comes the thunder 3 seconds later. If you manage to say the bracha when you saw the lightning and you said Osem Maaseh Bereshit and you didn't hear the thunder yet, then when the thunder comes you can say Kocho Gvurato Melei Olam. But if you didn't manage to say a bracha on the lightning and the thunder came, now you can only say one bracha, because whatever bracha you say covers both of them.
Right.
Which is what I just summarized what he's about to say. Valkane, do you see the place? It's the last two words of a line. Valkane, and therefore, im shama barak v'ra'am kehad, if you heard lightning and thunder as one, obviously means if you saw the lightning and heard the thunder, mivarech bracha achat, you mivarech one bracha, you can't do two. And which one should it be? Dehainu, that is, osem asei breshit, breshit al shneihem. And he tells you which one to say over both of them. And that probably is because of what Eric said. Because it looks like from the Shulchan Aruch that the preference is osem asei breshit, which of course is the opposite of the Mishnah. But it seems to be the ideological tendency of the Gemara. Osem asei breshit al shneihem. Ve'im berach shekocho gbruato melei olam gam ken yotze. But if he said kocho gbruato melei olam, also you're yotze. Of course. Okay. So to summarize, if you get them both at once, you say osem asei breshit, and that fulfills your obligation to both of them. But if you say the other bracha, that's good also. Vim lo hayu tichufim ze achar ze, and if they weren't immediate, this after that, mivarech chila ala barak, you first say a bracha on the lightning, and you say light, osem asei breshit, shu mitra'et chila le'ein hadam, which is seen first to the eye of man, osem asei breshit, like I just said, v'chokach al haram, and afterwards on the ram, on the thunder, shekocho ugvrato malei olam. Okay? This is real halakha lamaase. V'hu hadin, now beginning something slightly different. V'hu hadin, hu'adin is an expression that means it's the same thing. It applies equally. Im lo ra'a et habarak. It's the same thing. If you didn't see the lightning, v'shama kol haram, but you heard the sound of thunder. U'berech alav shekocho u'gbrato malei olam. And you said on the thunder, the bracha kocho u'gbrato malei olam. Or berech osem maaseh breshit, or you said maaseh breshit, v'achar kach ra'a barak, and later there's another, and you see a lightning, then you say another bracha, mevarech alav gam kein osem maaseh breshit. Then you also say on it, osem maaseh breshit, on the lightning. Right. So to summarize, when they both come together, you say only one bracha, osem maaseh breshit. When they come separately, you say the applicable bracha according to the custom, which is over the thunder, koch u'gvura, and over the lightning, osem maaseh breshit. Right? That's the story. So, we're going to read on. And the next comment in the Mishnah Berurah still relates to what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. The one we're going to see is the one in my bracket, Vav, which is on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, Ve'im yirtze, if he wants. And this was, remember, it was saying that over all these phenomena, the first group, the thunders and lightnings and stuff, you say osem maaseh breshit, but if you want, you say the other one. What does it mean, if you want? Says the Mishnah Berurah, what it does mean, if you want? Aval lo yivarech shtei brachot kehad, but you shouldn't say two brachot at once. In other words, don't do like Rashi, do like Tosfot. Ela ozo, rather, or this or that. As we said, and that's Tosfot. And now we're reading a second Dibur HaMatchil, which is Sif Katan Zayin. Baruch v'chulei shekochog brato. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch to remember what this is going on. And the Zayin, of course, is right there at the beginning of the third line, where my finger is. This is where he said, if you want, you can say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, shekochog brato, malei olam. And says the Mishnah Berurah, Rutzel Omar, it means to say, Baruch Hanoten Koach Lahateva Laharot Koach Yotze Breishit Kadesh Yerum Min Lefanav. Translation, what is the Brachamin Kochog Rotom Leolam? It means, blessed is he that gives strength to nature, gives the ability to nature to show the strength of the Creator of Breishit in order that Yerum Min Lefanav, in order that they, meaning us, will be in awe of him. So, as we've been saying, this man of Kocho Brato is a matter of our intuitive reaction of awe and fear.
He sort of brings together the theological point.
Yeah.
Or I guess I should have said, he puts forward a theological statement about it, that God created nature, which reminds us of the creation of the world. Isn't that what he's saying? He's not saying God chose at that moment to make the lightning. God created nature, which enables these things to happen in natural course to remind us of the creation. Did I hear it right?
I would just say through nature. You're saying created, okay. But I was hearing what he said as using as the vehicle to.
And it also depends on how you
translate. Is that the same thing?
Are we saying it's basically the same participle thing. In the past or the present?
But it's still through the intermediacy of the teva, right? David's point still, there is that theological point that it's not direct. It's through the intermediacy of the teva. Let me point out another nuance in the Mishnah Berurah. When he says, "Kedei sheyiru lefanav," in order that they will be in fear of him, when we hear that, we probably don't take it literally. But the Mishnah Berurah is actually quoting from a Gemara that might be meant to take it literally. Right? If everything in nature has a purpose, and if 2,000 years ago they didn't see any purpose in thunder and lightning, the purpose is to make us quake in our boots. That's the purpose of it. Right? So again, I'm sure we would not take that literally today. We would say it's not its purpose, but it might be its effect. Right? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go on in the Shulchan Aruch.
It doesn't seem to say that there is such thing as a like an electrical storm where you can have lightning with no thunder. Is there such a thing?
I do remember someplace seeing such a discussion of summer storms of lightning.
I've seen lightning storms here in Dallas.
No, he means in the sources.
With extreme heat, sometimes the heat breaks with
When I was a kid, we called it heat lightning.
Yes.
In the clouds, and the clouds would just light up.
Yeah.
As lightning going among the clouds.
I'm sure in the desert.
Well, Reuben is just saying it's not mentioned in the sources.
Right.
But
can you make a...
But it is in the sense that it says, if you see lightning, say this. It implies that you won't have thunder at the same moment.
But I have seen this discussion of that type of lightning, and indeed you do say the bracha.
You do say the bracha.
Okay, so going on in the Shulchan Aruch, we're now in Seif Bet, which is the top of the page, the end of the third line. Kol zman shelo nitpazru ha'avim niftar bivracha hat. Literal translation, all the time that didn't disperse the clouds, exempted in one bracha. Uh-huh. In other words, as long as the same storm is going on, we have the expression, one size fits all. So, one bracha for one storm. One bracha per storm. So as long as the clouds did not disappear, even if it keeps thundering and lightning, you don't complete your brachot. Where in the Mishnah does the Shulchan Aruch get this from?
The front kid.
Right. When you see it occasionally. Uh-huh. Right. So we see we're applying the matter that seems to relate on to the Yamagadol. Uh-huh. much earlier to the Mishnah, to the very beginning of the Mishnah.
Which makes sense thematically.
Which makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense for certain. Says the Shulchan Aruch, going on in the last five words of the page, Nitpazru bein Barak lebarak. They dispersed between Barak and Barak, between lightning and lightning, Ovein Ram leRam, or between thunder and thunder. Tzrich lachzor v'levarech. You have to go back and wow. Say the blessing. Now, obviously, there's going to be some, no pun intended, gray areas here, right?
Right.
When you're not clear if it's a new storm or an old storm. Okay.
The proper expression you wanted, by the way, down here in Texas is one riot, one ranger.
I must have, I've never heard that. Huh. What does it mean? Where does it come from? When?
There was a big riot in some town, so they called for the Texas Rangers to come help them, and one ranger gets off the train and to stop, and they said, it's a whole riot. The guy says, one riot, one ranger, that's enough. That's all we need.
Okay.
You guys never heard that?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're all Yankees, aren't you?
It's a good one, though.
I've seen this, actually, on top of a mountain peak when I used to hike. There was a storm on that mountain peak over there. There was a storm on that mountain.
Yeah.
There was another storm on another mountain peak. There were three different storms going off.
Lightning, thunder.
And you have to watch your step.
And then you got to be careful where it doesn't come over your head. I mean, one of them came over our head and went, whatever. My friend's hat started zapping. And we were like, let's get down here.
So you're suggesting that I might make a separate bracha for each storm, even though I see them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. They would be separate storms. You can't see that.
That case isn't dealt with at all.
Say it again?
That case isn't dealt with in the sources.
It's not.
Interesting.
So if you have your cell phone with you, call your local rabbi.
Not the storm.
Okay. Going on.
The guy he was with was Jewish. He was a Jewish guy I was with.
So, Gimel. Haya yoshev beveit kisei. He was sitting on the toilet. Ushama kol ram. And he heard thunder. Or ra'ah barak. Or he saw lightning at a window in the bathroom. Im yoch. This could be a perm spiel, right?
Sure. It could be. It may be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Im yochol letzet ulevarech toch kedei dibor. If he can go out of the bathroom, right? I'm adding the words of the bathroom. Ulevarech and say the bracha toch kedei dibor. Toch kedei dibor literally means within while speech. What it means is within the amount of time it takes to say the words Shalom Alecha Rabbi, which is like 3 seconds. So don't ask me. I don't understand how you can get out of the bathroom in 3 seconds. Even if it's an outhouse, how do you get out in 3 seconds? I don't know, right? But if you're really quick, right? Well, I guess it could be that if you were talking about thunder that goes on for like 10 seconds, right? So at the beginning of the thunder, you start getting out of the bathroom, and you get out of there within 3 seconds of the end of the thunder, then Yetze. He should go forth and say the bracha. If you can do it within 3 seconds, do it. Vimla lo yetze. And if not, you don't get out of the bathroom. You don't say the bracha. You miss the bracha. So,
that's where the expression "he's indisposed" originated.
Apparently, yeah.
So. So we try and do what we can to arrange the saying of the bracha. We're going to close our discussion of this particular siman of the Shulchan Aruch by seeing a short passage of Mishnah Berurah that I have in brackets at the bottom of the page. He says as follows. See the place? Umikol ze nishma de shiur habracha shal ra'amim ubrakim hu davka bichdei dibur. And from all this, it is heard, in other words, we see the implication, that the shiur of the bracha, that the timing of the bracha, shiur in the sense of amount of time, and I'll explain what I mean in a second, that's on thunder and lightning, is specifically bichdei dibur. That amount of time, 3 seconds. In other words, from the door of the bathroom, you have to get out within 3 seconds of the end of the thunder and lightning, say the bracha. Mm. We can learn to a normal case that when you see thunder and lightning, you have 3 seconds to say the bracha. If you didn't say it, you missed it.
What did we say the words are for Dibur?
Shalom Alecha Rabbi. Shalom Alecha Rabbi. Going on in the Mishnah Berurah. Vimava yoter mikadei dibur, and if passed more than in order of speech, in other words, which means which tokadei dibur, which means shalom aleich rabbi, which means 3 seconds, mi eit shara'ah barak shamaram, from the time that you saw the lightning or heard the thunder, shuv lo yivarech, again don't bless. In other words, you can't bless anymore. You're finished, you lost it. Al ra'am barakze, on this thunder or lightning. So you have to be quick. You have to be quick to say the bracha.
You should say during the thunder or immediately?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
In Sanhedrin, bichdei dibur is the amount of time that a warning must be given in between the warning and the commission of a crime for it to be...
Again, it's pretty quick. It's pretty quick. We have this in many areas of halakha. For example, if you said a bracha over a food you're about to eat, and you realize you said the wrong bracha, this amount of time you have to correct the ending of the bracha, tok kadei dibur, 3 seconds. So you certainly don't have time to look for the art school sidur. You don't have time to call your local rabbi. So this is stuff you're supposed to know instinctively. Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to go on the same page, Resh Chafchet, Siman Resh Chafchet, which is the blessings over bodies of water and rivers, and on hills and mountains. So we read in the Shulchan Aruch, Al Yamim Unharot Harim Ugvaot Umidbarot, and that's a quote from the Mishnah. Is that the exact same order? It's actually not the same order. This is interesting. It's not the same order as the Mishnah. And perhaps David is going to look at the
but
same order in the Gemara.
I think it's the order is different. I don't know if I mentioned it the other day. But this is Al Harim, V'Al HaGevurot, V'Al HaYamim. Am I in the right place?
Yes.
V'Al
HaNaharot.
Naharot. V'Al HaMid. Wrote.
That's the exact order we have.
Oh, is it the same? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
But so, because I don't know why, I didn't learn all the literature that comes between the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch, you know, 1,600 years later, 1,400 years later, but for some reason the language is in a different order. But it's the same phenomena. On the seas, and on the rivers, and on the hills, and on the mountains, and on the vast expanses of wasteland, Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Osem Asei Breshit, which is exactly what the Mishnah said, because we're holding like Rav and the Gemara, who said that on the first part of the Mishnah you say two, which means either, according to Tosfot, according to the second part of, on the second part of the Mishnah you say what it says, Osem Asei Breshit, only that. Val Hayam Hagadol, which either the Mediterranean or the Okeanos, the Atlantic, Vahu Hayam Shovrim bo le'eretz Yisrael u'lemitzrayim, which is the sea that you pass through it to Eretz Yisrael and to Mitzrayim. So there's
Mediterranean.
Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Ose Hayam Hagadol. In our Mishnah it was Sha'asa, that made in the past tense. There's a discussion over the word, is it past tense or present tense? In the Shulchan Aruch, at least according to our text, it says Ose, maker of the Yam Gadol. But again, Ose is not necessarily present tense. It could be a participle, just the maker. God's the maker of the Yam Gadol. Okay. pretty simple, just like the Mishnah. Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps again it means that the Tanakhama holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Yama Gadol is a separate bracha. The Mishnah Berurah has a comment there that I want to look at. I have it in brackets at the middle of the page in the Mishnah Berurah. Aval harbei achonim pligi al hamechaber. But many achonim, many later authorities, pligi. We've seen that word in the Gemara. And I've mentioned that in Israel you have many words that come from that Aramaic root. For example, the word miflaga.
Yeah.
Which is a political party.
They don't agree.
They don't agree. Political parties are divisions. And pligi means to be arguing, to be divided, to be separated. So he says, many achonim argue against the mechaber. The mechaber is the way we refer to the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Usvir lahu, and they hold for themselves, did davka al yam okianus. That it's specifically on the okianus, which means the oceans that surround the continents, the big guys. Shehu hayam agadol shebechol hayamim. That's the big ocean of all the oceans. Shemikif et kol olam, that surrounds all the world. Alav kavu bracha b'fnei atzmo mipnei godlo. On it, they designated a bracha in and of itself because of its size, its godlo. Aval al yam shovrim bo l'Eretz Yisrael, but concerning the yam that you pass through it to go to Eretz Yisrael, lo nikra le'inyan ze yam agadol. It's not called the yam agadol. It's not so gadol. Umivrachim alav kamo al shal yamim. You say a bracha on it like the rest of the seas. Vida, you should know. Dechol abrachot elu einan ela k'shiroe oto mishloshim yom l'shloshim yom. That all of these brachot are only when you see the phenomena from 30 days to 30 days. If you see it after 29 days of not seeing it, enough time has not passed and you don't say the bracha again. So actually, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell us what the halacha is. The Shulchan Aruch says that you say this bracha, this special bracha, over the Yam HaGadol, and that's what I've been doing for the past many years, and I see the Mediterranean very rarely, right?
You can't say from a lunch foot.
From a lunch foot, you can't say that. The truth is that on a very, very clear day in the winter, you actually can.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never actually thought of saying the bracha, because it's pretty indistinct. When we go to... So that's actually a question, right?
Oh.
Do you say the bracha from the window of a plane?
Yeah.
And you say it when you see it in a telescope.
Right. Or a picture.
No.
No.
No, you don't say it in a picture.
Far.
You do say it. You can say it from the window of a plane.
From the window of a plane.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know what? I've never done that. But the truth is that the commentators talk about the fact that you can say it through a window.
Which addresses your point, Ruvain. You could fly through many storms. Lightning storms at different points on that trip.
Yeah. But you wouldn't hear the thunder usually.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, over the Mediterranean, we have the Mishnah Berurah says many Achronim argue, but the Shulchan Aruch says we do say the special bracha over the Mediterranean.
It's hard to picture in the year 200 very clear knowledge or even knowledge of the large worldwide oceans, isn't it? Or am I misremembering? I mean, I know the Mediterranean, at least for our, I'm talking, of course, about people that lived around the Mediterranean. Now, I don't know what the Chinese knew, but it seems like they knew the Mediterranean well, and the Red Sea, and, those areas right around there, but did they know the Atlantic and the Pacific?
Yeah, they would have known the extent of Africa and Tarshish, as far as Spain, and what's beyond Gibraltar.
Beyond.
That was
did they go beyond that?
Yeah, the Romans conquered England, didn't they? So they
but I think they did that over land, didn't they? I think they went from Gaul.
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone to the west of England and say, hey, there's more ocean.
I mean, the known world would have been, they saw a big landmass.
Portugal.
Africa, in Spain.
But why would you, I guess I'm saying, yes, of course, people
saw
the...
It was like the Mediterranean was the same.
What I'm saying is, yes, people saw the Atlantic. If you're on the coast of France, you can see the Atlantic. But do you have any reason to think it's bigger than the Mediterranean? In other words, you have to know a lot to know that it's bigger than the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean, you can't see the other side.
Right.
It's days. It'll take you days to sail across the Mediterranean.
But they had traversed it.
The Atlantic?
No. The Mediterranean.
I know, but I'm saying...
No, the Atlantic and the Pacific.
How do you know how big it is? Why do you think, if you're on the coast of France, or even if you're sailing along the coast of France, or along the coast of Africa, why do you think that's bigger than the Mediterranean?
Because it had never been traversed. You would just think of it as the boundary of the world. The Atlantic is the boundary this direction. As far as you've been to Persia and India, the Pacific, is the boundary to the east. And in the center is the Mediterranean.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's kind of my understanding of their understanding of the ancient
world. Indian, probably, too.
It was thought that if you went to the west, eventually you'd fall off to the west. If you went to the east, eventually you'd fall off to the east.
Right.
And then their understanding was that you went around, that Columbus didn't run into another continent. He came around that other ocean. Even when they started thinking it was round, they still thought that it was just ocean.
And they bumped into that darn thing in the middle.
but they didn't realize they bumped into something new. In fact, the Portuguese kind of tricked the Spanish into...
So now let me argue against what you're saying
on
the basis of the language. It says, et hayam hagadol, when you see the big sea.
Yeah. The term would imply that it seems to be the only known sea.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. Right.
They certainly knew about the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they...
They couldn't imagine Jews living in those far-off places.
No. I'm wrong. Wait, I'm wrong. It could be that Hayam Hagadol
implies there are others.
Is something else, and it doesn't.
Then the others would be smaller. That would imply the others are smaller. Never mind.
Why? No.
Because they call this Hayam Hagadol.
No, but what are they referring to? Perhaps they're referring to that which is off the coast of France that most Jews never saw, but they've heard of such a thing.
You're talking about Yam that's not Hagadol? He's saying Hayam could mean...
He's just questioning his point. He's saying
if it's more
Hayam could mean the Atlantic. Oh. Yes, correct. He's saying yes, uh-huh. He's acknowledging
But that's very far... Because at that time, I don't think it was part of the reality. I don't think there were large Jewish communities in France and Portugal at that time.
I think you're right.
Maybe it just means the ocean versus a big lake. Big lake could be called Yam. Yam Gadol would be the ocean.
Well, don't we refer to the Kinneret as Yam?
Yes, we do.
And the Dead Sea is a Yam, and then the Red Sea would have been another Yam.
Okay.
Yam Gadol. I mean, the way I would organize them. Those are all Yams, and Yam Gadol would be Atlantic.
Okay.
The Mediterranean. What happened to the Mediterranean?
That's a Yam.
That's just another Yam. Could be. Anyway,
those are the ones you ordinarily see.
Okay. So anyway, the halakha seems to apply to leave open both options. What bracha you want to say over the Yam Ha?
Over the Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Whichever it is, you do say a bracha. Depends just which one. You certainly say a bracha. Okay. Resh Chaf Tet. Oh no, we have more to read. I'm sorry.
I interrupted us, sir.
We're still in Resh Chaf Chet. Yeah, we're still there. And we want to read the Mishnah Berurah in Gimel, which is just one word after we left off. Oseh Hayam Hagadol. V'chein hu Lashon Hator. And that is the language of the Torah, that's the language of the bracha, Oseh Hayam Hagadol, aval kama poskim hitiku nusach bracha zo b'lashon avar. But a number of authorities copied the wording of this bracha in the past tense. She'asat Hayam Hagadol, who made in the past tense the Hayam Hagadol, which is what we have in our Mishnah, at least in our text of the Mishnah. There are other manuscripts, maybe. Okay, so whichever it is, we do what the art school says, right? What do I say?
Not Yisrael.
I've always done it in the past tense, right? Shasa et Hayam Hagadol. Yeah.
Okay. Now we go on in the Shulchan Aruch. Seif Bet. Second line on the top of the page. Lo al kol ha-narot mivarech. Not on all the rivers does one bless. Ela al arba naharot dichtivi bikra. Rather, only on the four rivers that are written in Scripture. And he means the very beginning of the book of Genesis. Kamo chidek el Ufrat, like the, how do you say in English?
The
Euphrates and the?
Tigris.
The Tigris and the Euphrates. Vehu shira'a utam b'makom shelo nishtana mei halacham ayedei adam. And that's only if you see them in a place that their course has not been changed by human beings. If you see them in a place where the channel has been changed, you can't say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Breshit, because you're not looking at Maaseh Breshit, you're looking at Maaseh Adam.
Suez Canal.
So you certainly, well, he's saying here, you only saw these four rivers,
right.
And even these four rivers, only in the parts of them that are flowing as they used to be flowing a long time ago. The Suez Canal, certainly don't say it for two reasons. It's not one of the four, and it's totally man-made. But then we'll see that the Mishnah Berurah says a little bit differently. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Dalid kamo chidek el Ufrat, like the Tigris and the Euphrates, lav dafka elu, not necessarily just these. Ela huadin, rather it's the same thing, kula narot, shen gedolot kamo elu, hadalat narot. All rivers that are as big as these four. Shiyu yidu'im shem miyamei breshit. And that we know that they are from Maaseh Breshit, from the days of Breshit. Kamo elu, like these, velo nitavu achar kach, mevarech. And they didn't develop afterwards. Mevarech, you say the bracha. So here, we have a subject that we're not going to go into because I don't know enough about it, but it's the subject of the tension between halacha and science. Because he says, we only said the bracha over the rivers that were from the days of Breshit and didn't develop after. He doesn't say weren't man-made, he says didn't develop afterwards. Now we know that all rivers developed afterwards. Rivers are changing their courses constantly, right? No river we see today is from Yemei Breshit. So the halacha says, well, the halacha says, say the bracha. But the reasoning of the halacha is that you only say it when it's there forever. And we know it's not there forever, so what do we do? So I don't know. Right? Well, I should say more. The halacha has to say the bracha. But there's an inner tension here.
It could well be the Mishnah Berurah just used a different phrasing to mean not man-made. Isn't it?
No, because the Gemara really talks about such thing. It says you have to, if you know that a river has changed its course, even naturally, you wouldn't say the bracha.
And then it doesn't really, it leaves Maaseh Breshit somewhat vague. It doesn't define that time period when it is. I mean, it's not the tension is there, but it's not trying to, it's not aware of science, I think. I mean, it's not taking into
account. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what do we do?
Almost all rivers, you know, nowadays rivers don't change their, in developed countries they don't change their course so much because they're controlled a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Mississippi River in little places where near the bottom, I mean, there will be little changes in the course, even today, I think, to a certain extent.
Despite the levee.
And certainly over the centuries.
Yeah, and the millennia.
Most did. Probably the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon hasn't changed its course much in centuries because it's
gotten deeper.
It's gotten deeper, but...
But in millennia, it has. And in
millennia, presumably it did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say in millennia, my understanding of creation, there were no rivers. You know?
Right.
Water, you know...
Well, it was a sea, they say, all through Texas and up in the middle of the country. It was sea. Anywhere you find oil is supposedly was covered by ocean at one time. Mm. So
okay.
So
this is an interesting subject for research.
Uh-huh.
Again, I don't know. I know that books have been written in general on the subject of how we deal with situation which the halakha is based on one understanding of science, and we today know it to be different. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of cases of that sort.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay. Shavuot Tov. So we have gotten in the Shulchan Aruch to Gimel. And so again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem, if we don't take our scientific knowledge into account, that all rivers that are as large and as big as the Tigris and Euphrates, we say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Breishit. Certainly the authorities in previous generations have talked about the Volga River and the big rivers in Europe. I suppose the same thing would be for the Mississippi.
The Nile.
But not the Suez Canal, because that's
clearly
one that has changed its course has been made by man. Okay. Okay. We're going on to the last Seif of Siman Resh Chavtet, which is Seif Gimel. Velo al kol harim ugvaot mevarech, and not on all of the hills and mountains mevarech, eladafka al harim ugvaot hamishunim, but specifically on hills and mountains that are unique, mishunim, are different. Vinikeret gvurat habore behem, and is clear the strength of the Creator through them. So what does that include? A little bit of a gray area. It doesn't include Hari Yehuda. Doesn't include the hills of Yehuda. Doesn't include some of the mountains in the Sinai Desert.
Golan?
The Golan. The Hermon, Mount Hermon.
Does not.
You would say
I don't know. I'm asking. Oh. I don't know.
That's probably relative as well. If someone only has knowledge of Israel and they've never left Israel, they're not aware of higher mountains, they're not aware of the Himalayas.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I tried to look it up last night. I plugged into my different databases of modern shooting, of modern Shelot V'Tshuvot, modern responsa. I typed in Hermon, and I didn't get any hits. Don't know why. No one ever asked if you say a bracha over the Hermon. I don't know. I don't know. And of course, we said last week, do you say a bracha over the Jordan River if it's the biggest river you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Even though it's only a creek. Okay. Now, we're going to turn the piece of paper to Siman Reish Chaf Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. And here we are. Right, so I decided not to see any Mishnah Berurah on this page, just to see the Shulchan Aruch. You ready? Allah. Im hayu bitzar, mahamat atzirat kshamim. If they were in dire straits, in tsaris, because of the stoppage of the rains, atzirat kshamim, the yerdu kshamim, and fell rains, mevarchim aleihem, afalpi shelo yardu adayin kadei revi'ah. Even though they didn't fall yet, kadei revi'ah. Revi'ah means to impregnate the earth. As it didn't fall enough yet to cause everything to grow. Just fell a little bit. You say a bracha. Now we would expect, according to the Mishnah, that the bracha to be said is Hatova Meitiv. Just the Mishnah says, Alak Shamim, and on good news, you say Yatov Meitiv. But we're going to see a little bit different in the Halakha. Misha Yardu Kolkach Sherabu Al Haaretz. Misha Yardu, that's three words, from that they fell, Mi is from, She is that, from that they fell, Kolkach so much, Sherabu Al Haaretz, that they were great on the earth. Turn the page. There's a lot of rain. Shiyalu ava buot min hamatar v'yelchu ze likratze, that will arise ababuot, puddles from the matar, from the rain, bielchu zelikratze, and they will go this towards that. What does it mean, this towards that? It means that the puddles are so deep, and the rain is falling so hard that when the rain falls to the puddle, it splatters up. And now the rain is falling up. So if we look at the whole sentence again, it's a long sentence. I'm sorry, I'm confused. Let me see if I skip. Did I skip a page here? Mishkaf Aleph. Resh Chaf Aleph. Here we are.
It's going to be a really it's going to be a really long sentence if you skipped a page.
Can it be giving you the range from which you say the bracha? Ima you betzal mechav if you're in tzar, have been a long time. Berachim aleihem. Afal ki shelo yaltu adayin kedei reviyah. Even if it didn't rain enough to fill the ground, all the way up until the kind of rain that it would splash up. Is that reading?
But not more than that.
Yeah.
When what
that's
could
like
be more than
like
that?
Everything from just a little bit of rain to a torrential downpour.
I hear.
The
okay.
First part.
I guess that's right. Let me just think one more thing.
It's awkward because it's so long.
Okay. So I guess what you're saying is correct. I just...
It's a long sentence.
Yeah. So Eric is saying the sentence says that you say the bracha between two parameters. No, it's not even two parameters. No. Even though you didn't get to the first parameter of it moistening the earth for sustenance.
Yeah.
So far that so you say the bracha even if the rain is so strong that the water is going up from splashing. I guess
more
that's what it means.
It's superfluous rain. It's more than enough. It's going back up.
But it's not hurtful rain. It's not a flood.
I guess
it's reminiscent, of course, of the what's his name, the circle maker.
Honi Amalgam.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't say blessing until there was enough to make a difference.
Well, it wasn't a blessing. He didn't let God off the hook. Yeah.
Give up until he got enough to make a difference. But if it was so much that it flooded, that certainly wasn't okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then
we'll read the Ramah.
Okay.
Right. So the Ramah says, which is the first line on the top of the page, the new page we've just gone to, Haga, means a comment of Rav Moshe Isserles. Uma she'ein anu nohagim bizman hazeh bivirkat hagshamim, and that we are not accustomed in this time, in our days, to say the Birkat Hagshamim, and they just didn't say it in Europe. Mishum de medinot elu tedirim b'gshamim, because in these countries where we live in Eastern Europe, tedirim b'gshamim, they're constant in rain. It's always raining. Veina netzarim kokach, and they never are held back so much. So we never are in a state in which there was some type of drought. So we never say the bracha. That's what he says. We don't live in the reality he lives in. Whether it's in Israel or in Texas, we sometimes do have atzirat kshamim. Let's go on in the Shulchan Aruch. Uma mevarech. This is the third line of the Shulchan Aruch. Seif Bet, and what bracha do you say? Im ein lo sadeh, if you don't have a field, if you don't own farmland, Omer, you say, Modim anachnu lach, Hashem lokenu al kol tipa v'tipa shehorat talanu. We thank you, God, for each drop of rain that you have brought down to us. V'ilu finu malei shira kayam, and had our mouths been filled with song like a sea, etc. And we know that we say this, you know this from Shabbat, at the very end of Sukkot de Zimra. We don't say the matter of thank you God for the drops of rain, but the rest of it that says had our mouths been filled with song like water, we know from Shabbat. Ad, until what words? Hein hem yodu vivrachu et shimcha malkeinu v'chotem bruch ata Hashem kel rov ahoda'ot. We say what we say at the end of Sukkot Dezimra on Shabbat, until the words Hein hem yodu vivrachu, indeed they will thank and bless your name, our king, v'chotem, and you sign off the bracha with Bruch Ata Hashem, Kel Rov Ahodot, the God of much thanks. That's if you don't own a field. In other words, it seems to be saying that the bracha we learn from the Mishnah, that you say Tov Meitiv, that's only if you own a field. If you really get out of this rain, direct, immediate benefit.
Why is it Hain Haim? Why not just Haim?
I think it's just for emphasis. Okay. You could ask that question in 20 different places in this tefillah, that it repeats words again and again and again, I think.
Okay.
Haim Haim. Haim Haim Yotu. Indeed they. And then says the Shulchan Aruch in the last line at the top. It says, Ve'im Yeshlo Sadeh. And if he owns a field, bishutafut imacher, in partnership with someone else, mivarech hatov meitiv, you say the blessing hatov meitiv. Next page, v'im ein lo shutaf v'sadeh, and if he doesn't have a partner in the field, mivarech shechianu. So we see that the halach has developed very far from our Mishnah. And it's a big discussion in the Gemara that I debated, should we learn the Gemara or not? It's a complicated Gemara, so we're not going to learn it. But the conclusion here is there are three different brachot for three different situations. We're talking about a case in which there was some degree of drought. It's not just a normal rain, some degree of drought. And in a case where there's some degree of drought, you say one of three blessings. If you don't own a field, you just thank God with this bracha beginning with Modim Anachnu Lach. If you don't own the field. If you own a field, it depends. If you own a field and it's only yours, you say Shechianu. If you own a field that you own together with someone else, then you say a Tov Meitiv. In other words, we only do what the Mishnah says you do to say a Tov Meitiv under two conditions. You own a field, which of course was everyone in those days, and you own it b'shutfut. And as we'll see, that's also everyone, because shutfut includes if you have a wife. Uh-huh. She owns it with you, by definition.
You have to explain it to me.
And
why do we think that? That there's a difference between owning it and owning it part and sharing it?
I was just about to say, thank you for saying that. Because we're interpreting the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hatov V'Hemitiv, he who does good and does better, does good to one person, and also does to another person. It's not so much qualitative, it's rather quantitative. Not that God does good to me and better to me, that God does good to you and also good to me.
I thought it meant is good and does good.
That's what I thought also.
That's the it's a midrashic interpretation that the Gemara gives it, right?
I wish I had lots of time and a big library to figure out why the Gemara gives this interpretation to the bracha, that it means good to me and good to you. I don't know. But that's what the Gemara says.
The Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch?
The Gemara. No, this goes back to the Gemara. It goes back to the Gemara.
Uh-huh.
The Gemara says if you don't have a partner, you can't say Tov Meitiv, partner in your field. And all the commentaries say.
Which is not implied at all in the Mishnah, is it?
Which is not implied in the Mishnah at all, no. Only if you have a partner. And there are long, long discussions of partnership. Is marriage a partnership? If you have children? So that's the way we're interpreting the bracha. And by the way, we're not going to get there today. I said to myself, since we're learning the laws of Tov Meitiv from the Mishnah, why don't we also learn the modern application of that, which I never encountered in Israel, but in Dallas I've encountered all the time. When you have a second bottle of wine on the table, better wine, you say a Tov Meitiv. So I photostatted for today, which we're not getting to, 8 pages on Birkat HaYayin on the table. And there are mentions there also of the same thing. If you're drinking alone, even if you have another bottle of wine, you don't say the bracha, only have guests. And only if the guests own part of the bottle, in certain cases. But we may or may not get to it.
Can we pick up on it if we don't?
If you bring a bottle.
And did you say, and if it's a better bottle? Is that what you said?
It has to be better wine. Uh-huh. And the guests have to be drinking with you. Uh-huh. In the end, the halakha is they don't have to own it, but you have to have more than one person drinking. Yeah, so anyway, let's stay in the rain.
There was a rabbi had dinner at our house, a rabbi from Israel, once. Oh, you're having a better bottle of wine, you're allowed to say another blessing here. So you did that. I haven't even heard of it. But.
Yeah. So, where were we?
You have to taste it first.
Right, so we were in the Shulchan Aruch, talking about these three different blessings for three different situations, and we talked about these situations. Let's now just read the very end of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the words of Rav Moshe Isserles, the Mapa in the Haggah. And that's the top of the page, it says Haggah. Yesh omrim da shomea shiarduk shamim mevrechatov meitiv. There are those who say that he who hears that rain fell says the bracha of a Tov Meitiv. And as we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, what he means is that when the Shulchan Aruch said you say one of these three blessings, a Tov Meitiv you say when there was drought and now rain fell, if you own a field and if you have a partner in the field, that applies even if you weren't at home, you didn't see the rain, but only you heard about the rain. Because remember, the Mishnah had said, Al Hakshamim Bal HaBisarot HaTovot, and on good news, you say Tov Meitiv. So, if you connect between rain and good news, if the rain is the good news, uh-huh. is the way this one interpretation has it. If the rain is the good news, then you say a Tov Meitiv, even if it's only news and it's not direct experience.
That's somewhat counterintuitive, because the same Ramah said in our country has been on. We don't say blessing on Yishamim.
So he's bringing you the Rashba,
okay.
right, who yeah. said it in Spain hundreds and hundreds of years before him. But he says, you're right, in our countries we don't do any of this. Okay, let's read a little bit of the Mishnah Berurah. So we're going back to the previous page, and I have the Mishnah Berurah over here, a little bit in brackets. Bishutfut. In partnership. We said we only say the bracha if you have a field in partnership, you only say the bracha of a Tov Meitiv. Peshut put v'chule, HaTov Meitiv, the words good and does good, Shehitiv lo v'gam la'achirim imo. That he did good for you and also for others with you, with him. In other words, the bracha means, like I said, a quantitative thing for me and for you. Tov Meitiv. Dahainu lahashutaf, that is to say to the partner. Umashma baharbe achronim, and it sounds from many of the achronim, defilu im yesh lo rak isha ubanim, that even if he only has a wife and children, heim gam kein bichlal shutafin, they also are included in the category of shutafin. So let's think. Everyone here, except for Eric, I think, has a backyard, right? So is a backyard a field? Well, it depends if you're interested in your grass. I mean, I don't know. But if you want a good lawn, and you're interested in it, and and you own your backyard together with someone. So if there's been a drought, and we certainly have droughts here in Texas, when the lawns go a little bit
brown.
Yeah. So if rains fall, and again, you are a backyard gardener, and you own it together with someone else like your family, so then and only then can you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Atov Meitiv.
Does a renter make it part owner?
Ah, does a renter. It's Yeshlo. No. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Or if you have some, interest in tending it.
I don't know.
Some would say we're Ashkenazim, so we have to hold like the Ramah. There are those who would say that, right?
Ah, but the Ramah says we're not Noagim, the Midinot Elu, but right. We're in different Midinot than he is. So there's three different possible brachot to say. But let me point out that as long as there was a certain drought and then it rains, you say one of the three. Right? There might be a question which one of the three, but you say one of the three, whether it's Shechianu or whether it is the one of Modim Anachnu Lach or whether it's a Tov Meitiv. Right, so we said, right, we did say you say Shechianu, right? If you don't know, wait a second, where did I get Shechianu from?
Yeah, it's the end. That's what we just read. It's right.
You don't have us.
Of course, yeah. Right, okay. If you don't have Shutaf, you say Shechianu. Fine. Okay, so we have a little bit of time at least to finish what's in this packet. We won't get to the other packet. So we're now in Reish Chaf Bet. And we're going to try and read in the Shulchan Aruch the whole Siman, even though in brackets I only put part of it. Al Shmot Shehen Tovot Levado, on good news, Reish Chaf Bet, right? On good news, Shen Tovot Lo Levado, that is good only for him. Turn the page. Mevarech Shechianu. Vim Hen Tovot Lo, and if they're good for him, Ulachirim, and for others as well, Mevarech HaTov HaMitiv. So now we understand, both in the matter of rain and the matter of good news, whereas the Mishnah says you say HaTov HaMitiv, the Halacha makes a distinction. That's only if there's someone else who's enjoying the rain with you in your field or enjoying the good news with you. But if someone else is not enjoying the good news, then it's only Shechianu. An example would be if you get news of inheritance. If you and your brother are sharing the inheritance, you say Atov Meitiv. If you're getting it alone, you say Shechianu.
And if it's my wife and myself, that's complicated, right?
No, why is it complicated? We said that's like a shutvut.
You're in partnership.
Okay, but the halacha I thought views it a little bit differently in terms of the wife assets and the husband's.
I'm just going on what we said earlier in the field. Right? In the field, we said that's enough. That's shutvut to keep you in the category of a tov meitiv. Okay, so now let's read on the Shulchan Aruch. Al shmot raot, on bad news mevarech. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Dayan Emet, right? Like we learned. We're going to skip now Gimel.
Can I just say, this matter of the rain, and even this one of the good news, the good news one, maybe I don't understand it exactly, what it takes to be more than one person, but go back to the rain. Rain almost never just falls on one field.
I know, right? Yeah, so I understand.
So it's good for more than one person.
Yeah.
So why does it, what's the sense of that? I don't quite get it. And oftentimes we hear news that's good news for many people. Does it mean I have to be a partner with that person? It has to, in that sense, good for more than one? I don't know. We don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I'm sure.
Is this based on a very complicated sukkah?
It wasn't very complicated, but I thought it was too complicated to deal with.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very complicated. It's also long.
Yeah.
Long, yeah. But remember that there could be long and complicated sugyot that give a lot of technical information but don't really answer our basic questions.
Don't get anywhere.
Because we're looking for the philosophy behind it, and the sources deal with the practical application.
Right, and sometimes from the technical discussions you can tease out the philosophical implications, and sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
So, we are going to now skip Gimel and go to Dalet. Mivarech ala tova hatova mitiv. You say the blessing on good, hatov mitiv, under the conditions that we've seen, right? Afal pi sheyarei shema yavo lo ra mimenu. Even though he is fearful, lest will come to him bad from it. Kagon shematza mitzia. For example, you found the finding, you found a lost object, and let's say the halacha is you don't have to return it because it doesn't have any simanim. You found $1,000. So I'm going to say, and let's say somehow it's the conditions of shutfut, I'm married, it belongs to my wife also, we're going to say a tov meitiv. V'yarei shema yishama lemelech v'ikach kol eshelo v'chulei. But he's afraid the king will hear about it, and the king will come and take everything he has. You still say a tov meitiv. It's a philosophy of living in the moment. V'chein mevarech al ra'a baruch dayan emet. And so you say a blessing on the ra'a, on evil, baruch dayan emet. Afa pi shiavo lo tova mimeno, even though will come good from it. Here it doesn't say you're afraid will come good, you think will come good, you're certain will come good. For example, you hear the news of the death of a relative, and you know you're going to get $1,000,000. You still say baruch dayan emet. Kagon shabalo shetef al sadeyu. For example, you got a flood in your field, it ruined your whole field. Afa pi shik shavu ha-shetef, hi tovalo shehishka sadeyu. Even though when the flood passes, it'll be good for his field because it'll fertilize the field. It will have watered his field. So we're looking at every individual step on the way as meaningful. From this, you can give a nice drasha, right?
Yes.
Yes, and now we just want to take the last few minutes to define again this matter of Tov Meitiv on good news when it is for you and for others together. I mentioned the matter of Shutfut, of partnership, but we didn't see that inside the sources. We have to look at the Mishnah Berurah, and the place we want to look is Mishnah Berurah Gimel Hay and Vav. Mishnah Berurah Gimel Hay and Vav. And I didn't put this in brackets for us. Right? Where is the Mishnah Berurah? Right. Gimel is at the very bottom of the previous page, the last two words on the page. Right. Mm-hmm. It says, Mivarech Shechianu. That's again when it's only good for you. He says, Hainu Sheyesh lo Simcha Miyashmua. That is to say, when you have Simcha from the news. V'chein lehipuch b'dayan emet, and the opposite concerning the brach of dayan emet, sheyesh lo tzar miyashmua, when you have pain from the shmua. It's all a matter of pain and happiness, of your individual psychological reaction, whether you say baruch dayan emet, whether you say shechianu. And then we said we want to go on, there was gimel, now we want to do hey. Afal pi sheyarei, even though he's fearful, or at the bottom of the page, it's good news that might turn into bad news. Ki ein lanu listakel batid, because we shouldn't look into the future, shavshar shalo yeken, because it's possible that it won't be what we think was going to be, won't be. We only look at the present. I'm looking if we want to do more. Anything? Vav kagon shematza mitzia, for example, you found a lost object, but you're afraid the king is going to take it all from you.
He's afraid that there will be some type of plot against him. They'll say that you stole it, and they'll take everything you own. And it's talking about a case in which you have household members. That it's good also for them. Then is relevant Birkat HaTov Meitiv, if there are other people who are going to get benefit together with you from this diamond you found. The lav hachi, that if not so, yesh lo levarech rak shechianu. If there's not other people that are going to get a benefit together with you, then you only say shechianu. What I thought is good to do for the last 3 minutes is just for everyone to say how much they remembered halacha lemaaseh from what we've done for the last 2 hours.
Of everything we've done just today?
Let's say, anyone who wants, just begin. What one halakha lemaaseh do you remember? Let's start at the beginning. Let's go back 2 hours ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thunder and lightning.
Oh. On lightning, the bracha is maaseh bereishit, according to the minhag, based on the Mishnah.
Right, right.
And on thunder, it's shikochot or gevurom malei olam.
Okay. Anyway, now what else? What happens if you see thunder and lightning together?
Just Bereishit.
Just Bereishit, right. What happens if... I'm going to ask a question without knowing the answers. What happens if you only hear thunder? And you say the bracha of...
And you're not in the bathroom?
Right, you're not in the bathroom.
You're not in the bathroom. Seconds to the door?
The rare times we're not in the bathroom. Okay. You hear thunder, right? So you say...
You can say either one.
You can say either one, but wasn't there a preference?
Shekachol gevotom elelam. That's the Mishnah Berurah's word noheg for thunder.
For thunder, right. Shekachol gevotom elelam. And then you see lightning. So you say the other bracha, right? But I think we're missing something. Wasn't there a case... Yeah, okay, I guess, is that correct? Everyone remembers, that's correct? That's pretty easy? Yeah? Okay, so how long do you have to say the bracha?
Toch kedei dibur.
Toch kedei dibur, 3 seconds, right? If more time passed, what happens?
You missed it,
right. Is that it concerning thunder and lightning? Oh, so what happens if you see thunder and lightning again in the same storm?
You don't. Repeat.
Once you've said it, right. That's it. You've done.
Right. One riot, one ranger. That's what we learned today.
Riot.
Right. R-I-O-T.
Yes.
One riot.
One riot, one ranger. Yeah. Okay. My wife asked me what we learned today.
Which
that's going to
tell
her.
They kind of let the riot go ahead.
Okay. So now what about Birkat?
Rangers.
Okay, rain. It starts raining. What conditions do you need to say any bracha?
You can't be in Ashkenazic countries.
Can't be in Ashkenazic countries. No, there has to be a drought. Some type of drought. Okay, then it starts raining, and you say one of three brachot, right? What bracha for each situation?
If you don't have a field.
Right, don't have a field. You don't own anything.
Then you need the long one.
Then you say the long one, right? Which, by the way, we should all open up a Siddur when we have a chance and see if we can find the bracha, to see if the art school has it. I think it does.
Yeah.
And
if you own the field outright, then Shechianu.
Outright means just yourself,
yes.
Right. Then Shechianu. If you own the field in Shutfut, which includes family members, you say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. Right. And then what about good news that's good only for you?
Shechianu.
Right. And if it's good for you and your partners, you say
HaTov HaMeitiv.
Right. That's about it. That's all we learned. Seems too simple.
The Yom.
Oh, Yam.
The
Yam HaGadol.
The Yam HaGadol. Okay. So we have a machloket what the Yam HaGadol is, but you say, Baruch Shasa the Yam HaGadol. Right?
And on the Atlantic, we would say?
I would say all the more so, Baruch Shasa the Yam HaGadol, right?
It depends how you understand Yam HaGadol, because I thought that the Shulchan Aruch said this is Dafka the Yam.
You're right.
That's the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay, so what does the Shulchan Aruch hold when you see the when you see beyond the Mediterranean?
Like the Mishnah. For any Yom?
Well, maybe maybe he meant... It means... Is that what...
I guess I thought he meant that, or more than that.
I thought he was referring only to the Yom HaGadol, the Mediterranean. Because he defines it. He says, this is Dafka, the Yom, the borders.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he defined it.
That's a good point. The Shulchan Aruch said,
the one that you go through to get to Egypt and Israel.
Who Hayam Shia, that's what it says. Which, that's right, the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that for a different Yom, you don't have that special bracha. And perhaps the idea is that special bracha is for a Yom that's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay, so that's the story. We're coming back, we said, January
11th.
With a catered breakfast. Okay.